From the KCPW Danker Studios at Library Square, this is Downtown SLC, a show that explores the people, places, and events shaping Utah's urban center. I'm your host, Jason Mathis, with the Downtown Alliance. Downtown is booming in many ways, in no small part because of our burgeoning convention business. Joining me today will be Michael Mack, the Vice President of Convention Services for Visit Salt Lake, the nonprofit charged with getting conventions to come here and keeping them happy while they're here. We'll talk about what it takes to throw a successful convention in downtown Salt Lake City. We'll talk about Salt Lake's growing nightlife scene. We'll talk about the farmers market and Michael Mack's role as a vendor at the market. We'll wrap up by discussing the future of our downtown over the next 5 years. All of that after this news from the BBC. Welcome back. You're listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm your host, Jason Mathis, with the Downtown Alliance. Joining me today, really, I say this almost every week, but this week it really is true, one of my oldest and dearest friends, Michael Mack. Michael is the Vice President of Services for Visit Salt Lake, our Convention and Visitors Bureau. Michael, welcome to Downtown SLC.
Thank you, Jason. And you did say that last time I was here, and I do count on myself being your oldest and dearest friend.
Well, we've known each other for 20 years. I don't know.
Yeah,
20 plus. A long time. I wanted to start out talking a little bit about the convention business in downtown Salt Lake City, the impact it has economically, and also in terms of sort of the vibrancy it brings. Your job as the Vice President of Convention Services is really to keep convention goers happy in our fair city. Is that an accurate description?
That's a very precise description. We do keep convention goers happy, but we also keep meeting planners happy. That's our goal, because it takes sort of the front of the house and the back of the house to be happy with what happens in Salt Lake for a group to want to come back.
You want, so somebody comes here, a big convention, 2,000, 3,000, 10,000 people, you want them to go, wow, we had no idea. Downtown was so cool. Salt Lake was so cool. We want to come back to this city.
Downtown specifically, they like to say that.
Well, I know that.
But absolutely. And we do we surprise a lot of people, and it's always a pleasant surprise. So yeah, we're pretty proud of the product we have to offer. And we wish we were a little bit better known before people actually get here.
Yeah.
But they generally leave with a very favorable impression and a strong desire to come back.
You and I worked together during the Olympics, and I know that I've always felt like in some ways Salt Lake City benefited, I don't want to say from low expectations, but maybe from not precise expectations about what to expect in our city. That people came here for the Olympics from around the world and said, wow, this city is awesome. It's clean. The mountains are beautiful. There's nightlife, more than we might have imagined.
And really friendly people as
yeah,
well.
Yeah. The capital of nice, I think someone from the New York Times dubbed us. Do you see that playing out still today, years later?
Absolutely. I would call the Olympics our coming of age party, or bar mitzvah, if you will.
Right.
And really, there's been no looking back since then. It's been great strides have been made to make us more hospitable to outside guests coming to town, especially since the Olympics.
What do you think convention planners, meeting planners, or the convention goers look for? What do they like about Salt Lake City?
Well, I think what they look for anywhere and what they find in Salt Lake is ease of getting around, mm-hmm. ease of finding restaurants, adequate shopping, safe downtown, great nightlife. You know, and we're certainly not a New Orleans or a Las Vegas in terms of nightlife.
And we don't want to be.
No, and I wouldn't say that those are great nightlife. They're certainly known for a kind of nightlife.
Right.
But we offer, I think, what probably 99% of guests would want for a downtown or a nightlife experience.
And you mentioned retail. City Creek Center obviously has had a pretty big impact. The location across from Temple Square and Abravanel Hall and the Salt Palace, clearly. Has that surprised people? We've had Dee Brewer, our friend, on here before and talked a lot about that. And I know that about 40% of their customers come from out of state, and they love conventions. Like that makes a huge difference for them and for their bottom line.
And they do a great job reaching out to our convention groups with very specifically tailored messages and greetings and discounts and offers. And they would know better than me what the impact is of a convention group. And we assume that they're going across the street and going to our restaurants. I mean, we know that, and shopping as well. But clearly, City Creek has means to track that, and I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, they're very happy. There has been, I wanted to just point this out, and every time I drive by it, I'm pleased by it, although still a little nostalgic. The Shiloh Inn, now the Holiday Inn Express, it looks amazing.
Like, it looks like a brand new hotel.
It does. I can't believe what they were able to do. And I will be honest, I kind of complained about the Shiloh Inn on occasion with the neon and the cinder block walls. And it was definitely a feature of our downtown. And this looks so professional and sharp. I'm a little nostalgic for the neon, but I'm glad to see progress.
Since you're nostalgic for it, I think we shipped all that look to Reno because it fits in really well there.
It's a good look for Reno.
If you want to go see the old Shiloh neon brothel look.
They've just moved it right there.
Go to Reno. No, absolutely. That hotel turned out better than I had hoped for, and it really is striking. The rooms are nice, and they're doing it right.
I haven't seen the inside yet. I got to go check that out.
No, they did a good job.
You think about that street, and you know the new Capitol Theater renovation is pretty cool, just down the street from
that. You mean
the
Quinney Capitol Theater?
I do mean the Quinney Capitol Theater. It's a Ballet West rehearsal space and expanded lobby for Capitol Theater.
Public space. Sorry, I keep interrupting.
No, it's okay.
The rooftop and area there on that addition to Capitol Theater is really outstanding.
Wow, I haven't been to the rooftop.
Huh?
See all this news that you're bringing to me today as the voice of conventions in downtown Salt Lake City?
The voice of convention's future.
Yeah, that's right. That's who you are. I want to talk a little bit. You mentioned the importance of nightlife, restaurants, et cetera. And it feels to me, and I've talked about this before, it feels like kind of a renaissance going on with downtown and nightlife. And you had mentioned, as before we went on the air, in particular, a couple of Asian restaurants that you seem to have become quite fond of in the last couple of weeks.
Yes.
New Asian restaurants.
New. Still in their family, Asian. But, let's start with Naked Fish, which isn't a brand new transformation, but it used to be called, I forgot what it was called.
Mikado.
Yeah. Mikado. That's a great place. Sadly, they're not open for lunch anymore.
Yeah. They had good ramen. They loved their ramen.
They have great ramen, and they've moved that down on State Street, outside of the downtown district.
Yeah.
Sorry.
We don't talk about that.
But
Go on.
Naked Fish does do a great job, and I think they do open for lunch when there's certain size conventions in town, like Outdoor Retailer, which we will talk about in a minute. A new one called, I think it's pronounced Pleiku, because I believe it's phonetic, in the former locale of Cindy Lee Cafe. And I'm told it's family members of the Cindy Lee. I think it's the grandkids, possibly. Hmm. It's certainly updated and nicer and a different menu and really good. Asian fusion, but with a Vietnamese flair.
So this is on Main Street between 200 and 300 South on the west side of the road.
Right.
Yeah.
Right where all those cameras are.
Right. The Downtown Alliance cameras.
Keep people from doing things in the planters.
No, it's a tourism attraction.
Tourism attraction.
We let people see what's going on our Main Street.
See yourself on a webcam.
Yep.
And then the other one is Yellowfish, which is also on Main Street. Yellowfish Bistro.
Yeah.
And is it Yellowtail or Yellowfish?
Yellowtail.
Where the former Shogun was. Shogun. That's how you say it.
So those are the Asian stuff that's happening, I think, is pretty impressive. I will say, too, I went to Jay Wong's a little while ago, right across the street from the Salt Palace, and their new Thai menu is really outstanding. They were known for Chinese, and they've now expanded to a whole new Thai, which actually is part of their family heritage, a Thai bent. So it was fantastic. Yeah, really good.
We have a lot of good Thai restaurants in town. We'll have to check out Wong's version.
You'll have to tie one on.
I will.
So funny. It's so funny. You have another side of your life in addition to your work as the convention impresario. You also are a vendor at the farmers market. I think sometimes people think that our farmers market, art and craft and farm vendors don't have lives beyond the farmers market. You do carry out a full-time job, and then you have a booth at the farmers market that you've had since long before I came to the Downtown Alliance.
Yes, I think we've been there for, this summer might be our 13th year.
Wow.
Because I've been married for 13, so I think it is. Anyway, yes, by day I raise chickens and eggs, and then on the weekend I sell journals and light switch covers. Not really, I'm not a farmer. But yes, every weekend from June through October, we go down and have a great time. It's kind of like the Twilight Concert without drunk people.
Well,
so you get
to
visit all of great Salt Lake folks, and we have returning friends. And I don't care if they buy stuff or not. I mean, it's fun that they do, but just to see greater Salt Lake strolling about.
Yeah, well, and maybe you can talk a little bit about Swanky Switches, the product that you sell.
Yes.
Light plate switch covers, journal, repurposed journals. This is kind of your wife Kim's business.
And miscellany. Yes.
And miscellany.
My wife is the artist. I am merely the employee and the money collector. Yes, Kim makes all kinds of customized and you know, popular icon light switch covers, probably most of which involve copyright violations, but we're a small scale operation, so right. Disney can back off.
Right.
And also she takes old library books and school books that have been discarded and turns them into journals by adding new blank paper to them and rebinding them.
Binding them in your house.
In our house.
You have a workshop.
We do have a little workshop.
That's very good.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk a little bit about the convention industry and what you see as coming up for the next year. I understand that it's going to be a busy one in downtown Salt Lake City.
Hugely busy. The busiest 2015 will be the busiest year ever in Salt Lake City for conventions. Last year, 2014, was a record-setting booking year, but that's not all business that will be here in 15.
Because sometimes people book it, they book years in advance.
We just got opened a file the other day that's from 2022.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure I won't be at the Bureau by then. But
you might. You're not that old.
I'm not that old, but I'm getting bored. No,
yeah.
So anyway, record-setting bookings last year and record number of groups this year. Just as an example, by comparison, last year we had 23 citywide conventions, which involve three hotels and the Salt Palace, or more hotels than three. This year we have 30, so a pretty significant jump in the number of citywides. And overall, we have between 300 and 400 meetings that we deal with in a year.
In addition to the citywide conventions?
Well, including citywides. But the citywides take a bit more effort, and you know, they're usually 3,000 to 7,000 people, except for Outdoor Retailer and a couple of the multi-level groups, and they are in the tens of thousands or 20,000s.
Yeah.
This past winter market was 22,000 people.
Past Outdoor Retailer
for
winter
Outdoor
market.
Retailer, yeah.
Excellent.
And they will be here this summer for their 19th summer market.
Wow.
And the way it's looking, it will be a record breaker.
Wow. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Michael Mack. Michael is the Vice President of Convention Services for Visit Salt Lake, our Convention and Visitors Bureau. We're talking about the impact of conventions, the role that conventions have in downtown, and also some fascinating personal anecdotes about Michael's life. We will be back after these messages. We are back. You're listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm your host, Jason Mathis. Joining me today, my guest, Michael Mack, the Vice President of Convention Services for Visit Salt Lake. Also a prominent downtown blogger. You have written about downtown nightlife and music. And I'm interested to get your sense of what we're doing right now. And we talked in the previous segment about some Asian restaurants, but there's a lot more going on than that.
Tons more, you know, great music clubs, et cetera. And there's nothing real new, but the Depot has a strong, strong calendar. The State Room, which is just barely outside your district, I think, is doing a really great job bringing very small and interesting acts to town, as well as all the other venues in town. So was there a question in there about blogging?
No, I wanted your sense, kind of what's happening with our nightlife. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it can always be improved, obviously. I take heart when I drive down Second South and I see yet another venue about to open by the Beer Bar and Bar X, mm-hmm. and that's going to be the Taquerias 27, which will, you know, at their other locations have a great tequila menu, so
yeah.
I'm sure that's going to be more of the same. All of a sudden, we have a strong, really strong block face, which is very walkable from downtown hotels, and they're getting great write-ups, those other places, and just one street over on 3rd South, the Coppers, as I call them,
yeah.
you know, they're getting great press. Finca is one of my favorite restaurants. I miss the old location, but I'm really glad it's downtown because I'm usually downtown.
Yeah.
It makes it a lot easier to take clients and guests there to the new location on 2nd South.
Well, and you know, we've had Scott Evans, the owner of Finca, on the show before talking about his decision to move downtown, and it's nice that he's been able to repurpose his other restaurants into some other directions that he's been interested in. For a long time, I was interested in trying to create some sort of an entertainment district downtown, a hospitality district, and I'm feeling less and less that is less and less important. I'm feeling like all of downtown is becoming a de facto entertainment district. We don't have to designate one street or one part of the city. You mentioned the strong nightlife restaurant fun scene on 2nd. There's a great project going on State Street, the Plaza on State Street, and looking at what might happen along that area between 300 South and 200 South State Street and Edison.
Across from the Marriott.
Yeah, Edison Quarter. Yeah, it's really pretty exciting what's going to be built there. Really interesting stuff going on Regent Street, and plans for that are continuing to progress right behind the new Eccles Theater. And then, you know, the new 111 building is going to bring 4,000 new workers downtown every day. So there's a ton of really interesting dynamic projects in the works right now. And of course, the Convention Hotel that we've spent a lot of time on this show talking about.
But let me back you up to a district. I partly agree with your idea that we don't need to force create a zone.
Right.
But there are some cities that have done kind of that and created this little zone area, entertainment area. Uh-huh. LA has one as an example. And sometimes it seems to me that the Gateway might be a good place for that. Not entirely the Gateway. Mm-hmm. I mean, not the entire Gateway, but a portion of it, because it lends itself to pedestrian activity. There's pretty good parking around there. There's great light rail service there. A little bit more of a concentration, which might help that west side of things and certainly help, I would think, the Gateway that's been depleted a bit by City Creek.
Yeah, I think that is true. I think over the next 6 months, there will be some exciting announcements about what's happening at the Gateway that will really help to transform that. We've talked on this show before about the Mayor's Commission on Homeless Services, really evaluating the way that we provide those homeless services, the location of the current providers, and those conversations, I think, also will have an impact on what happens at the Gateway, and also the area between the Rio Grande Depot and the Hub, which the RDA over the next month will be announcing an RFQ to ask developers to come in and start giving them some suggestions about what to do in that neighborhood as well. So really a lot of change and a lot of excitement going on in different pockets of downtown.
And if you left 10 years ago and just came back, you might not know where you were.
You might not recognize it. Lots and lots of change happening.
We've been remodeled extensively.
Yeah. You've got some important groups coming who may not have been here in the past 10 years. Many have not ever been here before.
Right.
Maybe you could just talk about some of the more interesting. Every convention group, I'm sure, is interesting in their own way. But
well, and let me just say they're all important.
They're all important. I know that.
We have an interesting variety of groups, including the Episcopal Church for their general triennial congress, which is almost a week long. And they actually conduct a lot of business and do voting and, you know, policy making while they're here. So that will be very interesting.
When are they coming?
They'll be here in June.
And how many people?
Between 8,000 and 10,000.
Wow, that's huge.
Yeah. Another one in the summer, a very interesting group that is certainly an up-and-coming group. It's not a new group, but the way the power is shifting, LULAC is their name, League of United Latin American Citizens.
Hmm.
And I think it's a real feather for Salt Lake to have them because, you know, although we have a strong Hispanic community here, it's not necessarily a strong voice yet, although it could be a huge voice and ought to be. So that'll be in around 4th of July, and that'll be an interesting one. And right on the heels of that is a group called the School Nutrition Association, which basically are all the lunch ladies. When I went to their convention last year, I thought, "What? Where was all this food when I was in school?" Because they have pretty nice offerings these days in the name of nutrition.
You know, I guess I should know this. I have kind of a long association with the Convention Bureau, but there's kind of a group for everyone.
Absolutely.
If no matter what your profession, there's likely an association that you could belong to.
There is an association. There's an encyclopedia of associations, and it's four volumes thick, and it's bigger than, I don't know, the Manhattan phone directory, if they have such a thing anymore.
Right.
It's
called Google now.
Google.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. What about, I know there's quite a prominent group, the World Religions Group.
Yes. They're coming in mid-October. They meet irregularly. They haven't met in America for decades. I don't know when, in their 60s, I think, before Jason was even around.
Yeah.
The Council for a Parliament of World Religions, and it's truly a world group. All faiths are going to be represented, and they're working closely with not just the LDS Church, but thankfully, yes, the LDS Church, because that's important to make it be successful here in Salt Lake. And they've made some great inroads to work with them, as well as the Catholic Church and many, many others, the Sikh community, which is here, and others. They will have at least four Nobel Prize Peace Prize winners in attendance, one of them is the Dalai Lama, who's committed to be here.
Wow.
Which would be great. And I'm hoping to get him over to Crown Burger while he's here.
That's part of your official role as the Vice President of Services for conventions.
I want to show him what's different about Salt Lake.
I don't think he eats meat.
Crown Burger. Well, they have good veggie burgers.
That's true. That is true.
And it is,
you don't have to have,
it's representative of a certain culture in our city. So
that's true.
I think it's important. But yeah, the parliament will be, they're hoping for 10,000 people.
Wait, I want to go back to that. If you take the Dalai Lama to Crown Burger, may I accompany you?
Absolutely.
Okay,
and if he orders, if he steps up to the counter and says, make me one with everything, we'll know we've arrived.
Okay. It'd be amazing.
Before that group gets here in September, we get to welcome back Comic-Con. The freak show of all freak shows, which is
Comic-Con.
Just amazing. I love it, too. I love that these people look for these opportunities to come and unabashedly wear their costumes and parade down the streets of Salt Lake and, you know, crowd the JB's restaurant and McDonald's probably.
Well, people just are who they are. Like, it's a pride event that's not a gender identity event, but people just are able to express themselves in really diverse ways. And they spend so much time on these costumes. It's amazing.
Even though it's not religious or sexually oriented, I think it's deeply held personal beliefs.
It is. It truly is.
I am Captain America.
Right. You don't, you could be, I guess.
Well, I'm not. No. I'm saying that's what one of the attendees might say.
Right. Well, Michael, thank you for your work to help build a dynamic and diverse downtown community. And in so many ways, as a farmer's market, arts and craft vendor, helping to keep convention goers happy, helping to blog about our burgeoning nightlife scene. The final question I'll ask you is, where do you think Salt Lake will be 5 years from now? What do you think the city will look like if someone were to get in a time machine? What do you think they would see about our community, our downtown specifically?
First of all, that's weird that 2020 is 5 years from now.
I know.
Blows my mind. Well, I think, and at the risk of comparing ourselves to other cities, I will compare us to the way certain other cities have risen to prominence.
Mm-hmm.
We've been making a lot of top 10 lists for years now. I mean, at least three or four good solid years of best cuisine or best farm to table or best place for a single person or best place to start out a business or best place after college. And I think they're all legitimate.
Yeah.
And we're kind of following in the footsteps of some other cities that have had their days in the sun or still do, like Portland to a degree, certainly like Austin, Texas,
mm-hmm.
and like Nashville. And if we could be anywhere in 5 years, I would say let us be the most like Nashville, even though we aren't going to be Nashville. But
right.
Nashville, the amenities they have and the attention they're getting and the food scene they have and the hotel product and convention product is incredible. And they have really wonderful people who live there, as do we. We have people who make our job at the Convention Bureau really easy because Salt Lakers are really friendly, open people.
Yeah.
And it makes our guests feel welcome.
Yeah. Well, Michael, you've made me feel very welcome here today on Downtown SLC. Thanks for coming.
My pleasure.
I'm your host, Jason Mathis, with the Downtown Alliance. We'll see you next week.